Hey, good evening, everybody. So we're going to try from the rabbi's desk here. I didn't have that much time to prepare, but at least maybe we could talk through some of the inyanim and figure it out. I'll mention three shilas that came up this weekend. You'll tell me which ones you want to discuss, right? That's the drill. That's how these things work. So one shila I just got today from a friend of mine who's looking to go on vacation with his family to New Hampshire for a week, and they want to stay in a hotel. And the hotel said, no problem, you just have to sign a form first. And they emailed him the form, and the form says that I hereby affirm that for the last 2 weeks I only went out of my house for absolute necessities, and when I did so, if I ever came within 6 feet of another person, I wore a mask. Then you have to sign it. So he's like, they can't really expect that that's true, right? Like, can I sign it anyway, even if it's not like a violent? Like, I've been within 6 feet of people, you know. I went out of my house for things that aren't absolute necessities, like weren't absolute groceries, you know, sometimes with a mask, sometimes without a mask, and with distancing. Like, am I allowed to sign it just to go? I could assure you I didn't do anything unsafe, meaning, but I can't say that I never went out of my house for anything that's... that's not an absolute necessity. So the shaila is, does the hotel really expect that, or are they making you sign the form for some other reason, just to like cover themselves, just for like PR purposes? Or did they really expect that you're telling the truth, and is he allowed to sign such a form? So that is shaila number one. Shaila number two. A woman is in camp for the summer, working in a camp for the summer, and the way they work it is that... if for a married woman, if she has to go to the mikveh, they block off a part of the lake. They have mechitzos around a certain part of the lake, and at night, after the waterfront is closed, the women can go to the mikveh. But this woman has an allergy to mosquito bites, and if you're in camp, mosquito bites are, you know, mosquitoes are pretty prevalent. So she wanted to know if she can spray mosquito bug repellent all over herself before she goes to the mikveh, considering that it's outdoors and it's by the lake, and she's allergic to mosquito bites. What's the issue over there? Chatzitza, right? Is the bug spray going to be a chatzitza? Then third shaila, I'll read you the email I got, or the relevant point. A woman emailed me, there's a Jewish clothing store in a popular shopping area that sells tzanua women's clothing. They're known for their incredibly cheap prices and remain open for the entirety of the 3 weeks, 9 days. During the 9 days, they put all of their merchandise on sale and they hang gigantic signs on all of their windows that say, Davar Ha'aved, 40 to 50% off. Is this a problem either from the side of someone who would take advantage of the sale or for the store owners themselves? Even they're good at business, right? So they're going to have once annual sale. So they figured, take advantage, do it during a time where otherwise they're from clientele, because all of their clientele is from. So they're from clientele, otherwise wouldn't be shopping, because you don't shop during the 9 days. But if you build in the heter that it's a davar aved, so you manage to pull in the customers that way. Okay, so here's our three shadows. Shadow number one was, can you lie? and sign your name to it. Shaila number two was chatzitza by spraying bug spray all over your entire body. And shaila number three is a davara of etzel. It was a slow week, but those are the three shailas. What do we want? One, two, or three?
Three.
All those. No one cares about chatzitzas. Okay. So all those. How about this? We already had a discussion. We already know everything there is to know about chatzitza here. All right, so we'll start with three, and then we'll go back to. I probably don't have. I don't have 45 minutes of material anyway on three. So we'll start with three, and we'll go. We'll go back to one. One is, could be a 3 second shiur, or you could just talk forever about lying and gneivas das and whatever. Okay, so let's start with shaila number three. So what's the issue over here? What halacha? What halacha would the store be violating? What halacha would the customer be violating? What? Mimayit b'mekach memkar, maso matan, yeah? So that would be a violation of who?
The buyer.
No, that's the store. For the buyer, it's not a business, right? So that's probably not Masa Matan for the buyer. For the store, it's Masa Matan. For the buyer, there's a separate Indian of buying Kelim Chadashim, right? That you're not supposed to buy new clothing during the 9 days. So for the buyer, there's that. What would be the meaning? Is there such a heter called the Davar Avid that if it's, you can't get it cheaper, that it's you know, at a later time, that it's mutter? Okay, maybe there is. If there is such a heter, what would be the problem of utilizing that heter? I mean, like, what's the issue? A loophole. What do we call that in halacha? No, not a kula. Kula just means that you're lenient. When we're utilizing a loophole, I once gave a series of shiurim over Shavuos on halachic loopholes. You know, like heter mechira, mechiras chametz. You know, these kinds of halachic loopholes. What's it called? No, that's not really Navel Rishos HaTorah. No, that's not Rishos HaTorah. So it's called a harama. It's called a harama. What's harama? Harama is that. It's taking advantage of a loophole that you know that there is a loophole, so you work your way around to, let's say, Mechiras Chametz, right? You know you're not allowed to own Chametz, but you don't want to throw away all your Chametz or destroy all your Chametz. So you sell it to a guy knowing that he's going to sell it back to you because he doesn't want to pay the full market value of all that chametz. So of course he's going to sell it back to you, and therefore it's you've taken advantage of the harama, right? That's the concept of harama. So are you allowed to take advantage of harama? So what we have over here is masa umatan, buying new kelim, concept of davra aved. Shechianu, because if you buy new things that are really nice, l'chori you're supposed to say shechianu. Are you allowed to say shechianu during this time? And harama. So the very basis of the whole discussion, though, is just the idea that during Chodesh Av, it is a time where we behave differently. That is a mission at the end of Maseches Tainis. Someone was learning Tainis, right? You guys just stopped learning Tainis? So, yeah, okay. Oh, you're in Tainis, okay. So in Maseches, at the end of Maseches Tainis, I'm not there yet. So there's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tainis, the Mishnah Nechmasav Mematin Besimcha. The Mishnah is a little short on details, doesn't give that much in terms of detail, but Mishnah Nechmasav Mematin Besimcha. In fact, there's a very, very famous phrase that songs have been made out of and is often repeated, Mishnah Nechmas Adar Marvin Besimcha. That is not a Mishnah. The Gemara says, oh, Kishem, Shemisha Nechmas Av, Mematin Besimcha, Kach, Mishnah Nechmas Adar Marvin Besimcha. Just like Mishnah Nechmas Av, Mematin Besimcha. So too, Mishnah Nechmas Adar, meaning that there are particular times of the year that are times of extra Simcha. And the Gemara tells us, what does that mean, that Mishnah Nechmas Av, Mematin Besimcha? You have a Gemara Tanis? What is a Gemara Tanis here? No, it's gone already? Okay. What? Oh, there's one right behind me. Look at that. Okay. So he's right under your nose. So the Gemara, where is it? Chavan? So the, where is it? That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. But the Mishnah's where. Okay, so yeah, that's the Kishen that I was looking for. Oh, the Hilkach. Chavtes on base at the top. Amar Papa Hilkach. Bas Yisrael dis a Bar Yisrael rather the Islay Dina Bahadi Nachri l'shtamet minei ba'av dereya mazale v'limtzei nafshi ba'adav debarya mazale. That if a Jew has a din with a Nachri, then he should try to avoid doing that in Av, because it's a bad mazel, and instead do it in Ador, which has a healthier mazel. Okay, fine. That's the Gemara, that you should avoid having a din with a Nachri. And many take that to mean that you should avoid doing anything that could have a negative result, that can turn out badly. That's why many of the posts can say if you have an elective surgery that you could plan for a particular time of the year. Someone just asked me, Shaila, recently that they plan on donating a kidney, but they're only really off during the summertime, and the most convenient time for them to do it is around the 3 weeks or the 9 days. So can they do a surgery where they're going to be donating a kidney, which is not, you know, I mean, it's not a... like the most intense surgery. It's not like brain surgery, but it's, you know, it's they're removing an organ from your body, so it's not nothing. Can they do that during Av? So many people will, many poskim suggest, no, you shouldn't do that. It's just like the Gemara says, if you have a din bahadli nachri, don't do it during Av. It's a bad mazel during Av. Rav Schechter often says that he doesn't think that that's the case. He thinks that the Gemara specifically talks about it's you against somebody else. It's you against the nachri. So because you have a bad mazel during Av, and therefore the nachri gets the upper hand during Av, that's when there's something to go to work against the other party. But when the other party is working with you, the surgeon is not trying to to kill you. He's trying to help you and make you feel good, and he's working with you. Rav Schechter didn't think that was a problem to schedule the surgery. But certainly we do have this concept of Rei Mazali, which, by the way, is a big chiddush that there could be such a concept, because normally there's nisr in the Torah that you're not allowed to believe that there are times that are particularly lucky or unlucky. There's an isr in the Torah of Lo Sa'aneinu that you're not allowed to believe that there's an owner, there's a time that's beneficial and a time that's less. But like Friday the 13th means nothing to us. It doesn't mean anything that there's, that people say it's bad luck or whatever. Their horror movies are called Friday the 13th. It doesn't mean anything to us. It's not, not only doesn't mean anything to us, if you believe stuff like that, then that's an Isser d'oraisa. So this seems to be an exception to that Isser d'oraisa, that you're allowed to believe that there is a beneficial time, and that's Chodesh Adar, and a time that's more challenging, and that is Chodesh Av. Question? Right.
So why even entertain
the question of Mazel? No, the Gemara says it. This is the Gemara. He's not going to deny the Gemara. The Gemara says it.
So how would you understand that Gemara in light of that? That which we have from Chazal,
that which we don't have from Chazal is just made up. That we can't buy into. But that's a Gemara. So you have this principle, Mishra Chasav Matim B'Simcha, and therefore there are a whole bunch of applications to it. And if you look in Sim Tavkof Nun Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, we're told about what you are and are not allowed to do. The Shulchan Aruch therefore writes in Sim Tavkof Nun Aleph Sif Beis. From Rosh Chodesh until the Tainis, until Tisha B'Av, which really means we're no egg until Chatzos, the day after Tisha B'Av, we keep the halachas of the 9 days. We're mema'it b'maso b'matan. So you shouldn't do too much business. You should hold back on doing business. So wait a second. Do people not work throughout the 9 days? Many people, it's hard enough to take off during Tisha B'Av. For Tisha B'Av itself, it's hard enough to take the day off. The whole 9 days, everyone's got to take off from work. So says the Mishnah Berurah, paraphrasing the Taz, Yesh min haposkim tesfir luhu, dahainu shlo yisa b'maso b'matan shel simcha. That there are those that say, no, it means not to engage in masu matan of simcha, kigon liknos klei kesef, or tzorchei chupa. Don't do things that are a real joy to buy. Silver kelim, things that you need for a chupa. You know, very often people assume for a chupa, it's a kula, because it's a dvar mitzvah. So for a dvar mitzvah like a chuppah, you would think that, you know, someone's getting married. It happens all the time. Someone's getting married right after Tisha B'Av. This year, there's going to be a slew of weddings that happen like right after Tisha B'Av, because so many weddings were postponed. And now they're all going to happen like right after Tisha B'Av. So people want to get things in order and be able to buy things. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that is a maso matan shel simcha, and that should particularly be avoided. Ukadoma avostamas. Kula number one, if it's just a regular masu matan, then you don't need to be mema'it. V'yesh desvir luhu, dekol masu matan tzarech lema'it beis hazos. That no, all masu matan should be limited. V'lo yasok ela kedei parnasoso. You just do what you need to do to live. What you need to do to be able to put food on the table. V'chei mashma simtav kof nindal tzof sivchav beis tzarech lema'it bekol masu matan. That any masu matan. So 2 days, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is it only masu matan shel simcha that we avoid, or any masu matan that we avoid? And even if you're saying that it's any masu matan kidei parnasaso is mutter, that's a trick in definition, though. How do you define kidei parnasaso? I don't think the Chafetz Chaim ever could have imagined what we refer to as kidei parnasaso, right? Meaning a person, Chafetz Chaim would say, meaning you have enough money to live for another week? And you're going to work now? like a whole week, right? What did the Chafetz Chaim do? In the New York Times obituary of the Chafetz Chaim, it said that he, it was going around on Twitter once, so they had something found, the New York Times obituary for the Chafetz Chaim. So it said that he opened his store each day, and he kept it open long enough to make as much money as he needed that day. And then he closed the store and learned. And his wife would take care of the store also, like he wasn't there. But it was like the thing in Radin that everyone would shop at his store as quickly as they could at the beginning of the day so that they can get him back to learning. They didn't want the Chafetz Chaim wasting his time in the store. So they were just like, oh, shop. Like, didn't you just buy a toothbrush yesterday? Why are you buying another toothbrush? Just like, go learn. You know, so they would, but that's what, just as much as he needed that day. Kedei Parnasaso. So how you define Kedei Parnasaso may depend. I've mentioned many times, Rav Schechter tells us, or he's told me a few times, that he gives way more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. And there's a halacha, the Gemara Mufreshes, and Mesachas Ksubas, Hamavazvez, Al Yavazvez Yosem Michalash, you're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your money on tzedakah. So once I had the chutzpah to ask him, that, but Rebbe, it's against the Gemara. Why do you give away more? He said, no. The Rishonim say that if a person is an Ashir Muflag, the whole reason the Gemara says, Hamavazvez, Al Yavazvez Yosem Michalash, the Gemara says, Shema Ye'ani, you might become poor, Vitzdarich Labrios, and then you're going to need to collect tzedakah. But if you're an Ashir Muflag, where you're not at risk of becoming poor, so then you're allowed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. Right? If Bill Gates were to give, if Jeff Bezos were to give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah, he can give 99% of his money to tzedakah, and he's at no risk of becoming poor. He'll make more today than you will in your entire life, right? So, I mean, you should all be blessed and whatever, but I'm just saying, chances are. So he's at no risk whatsoever of becoming poor, so then you're allowed to do it. So he said, I'm an Asher Muflag. So when I used to tell that story, I used to say, I don't know why you pays, but now I know why you pays, right? He has a different definition of an Asher Muflag, obviously. Meaning, so the Mishra Berurah, by some definition, Kedei Parnasasa. But then he adds, Virakim hu Yerid. Ooh, we just discussed Yerid yesterday. What's the Yerid? Yeah, the conventions that they need for their trade. Yeshlomer Davi Davara Aved Vishari. That's a Davara Aved, and that's Mutter. Vishari Bukuli Alma Imhumotse Oz Bzul Yoser. If you can buy products then that you're going to need to sell, and you could buy it cheaper at the time of the Yerid, that's fantastic. Then you're allowed to do that if you could buy it cheaper. And therefore, this is the kula that people have, that if there's a sale that's not going to. So some stores, they run sales like, every 2 months. There's the Labor Day sale and the Memorial Day sale and the Thanksgiving sale and they just have sales all the time. But here's a frum store that's dafka only having a sale during the 9 days. So that would therefore qualify as a davar avid for the buyer, although not for the store, perhaps, right? A davar avid for the buyer but the store may have the heter anyway of kedei parnasaso. That to shut down a store for a week and a half will have a major impact on their parnasa. It'll be a davar avid for the buyer. Rabbi Sobolovsky pointed out once that I think he was the one that pointed out once that he gets the shaila often that you'll have like a young married couple that lives in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the guy is learning in the mirror or something, or in gross or wherever, is their shon rishon or first couple of years of marriage, and they come back to America to their parents for yantid. So, or for the summertime, in the summertime, for Ben Ezmanin. So they're around during the 9 days, and only in America for that time. And when they're around, the parents are like, "What do you need? Let's go shopping." And this is like the only time of year where their parents are gonna pay the bills. Meaning they'll swipe the credit card. So they could go shopping at some other time, but then they'll have to pay for it. Now, if you go shopping with mommy pays for it, right? If you go shopping by yourself, you have to pay for it. So the shaila was, is that called the davar avid? It's not a sale. In fact, the places that mommy goes shopping are more expensive than the places that you would go shopping. It's not a sale at all. But it's way cheaper for you. So is that a davar avid? What's the answer?
Leave it, no?
No, so why is it leave it?
Because the parents, Jewish, I assume.
Meaning if they're buying, that's a violation of what? We didn't get to for yourself to buy kelim chadashim. Maybe it's not an issue to buy for someone else. Well, giving matanos is true, there might be an issue. But as far as davar avid is concerned, it's a davar avid for them, right? It's definitely a davar avid for them. So that's one issue. So, yeah?
We should go back to the definition of masa and matan. The first thing that says masa and matan.
Yeah.
Is there any other place that says
Well, because it's associated with binyan shel simcha, meaning that's the other, and binyan shel simcha is only binyan shel simcha, so that's what they assume, that all of this relates to simcha. That's yeah.
Whereas they're not like people can't do business. Does that mean like can't do a job? Or like if their job is business, then it's also like if somebody's let's say a lawyer. Or obviously not
going to right, so if it's if you're in a service industry, then that's not Masa U'matan pashtus. Right, so again, the minig is Nagu l'hakel b'kol zeh. I forget, did I not read that line? The Mishnah Berurah then goes on to say U'bizmanenu Nagu l'hakel b'kol zeh. Mishum d'akol nechshav keis k'dei parnas l'seinu. Everything is considered k'dei parnasa nowadays. Now again, he's dealing with a different reality in terms of the economic conditions than we have. But nevertheless, once the Mishnah Berurah says it, we took it and ran with it. That the minhag is to be made, that everything is considered k'dei parnasa seinu nowadays. In the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he says that, excuse me, that he spells it out, meaning even though the Mishnah Berurah sort of said that it's a davar avid at the time of the Yerid because you're going to find it cheaper at the time of the Yerid. So he says, yeah, that's by Yerid because you're buying in bulk or whatever. But the Piskei Tshuvos just points out that ulam b'mikreshim lo yikna ates hakelim anal yigram hefsid kasvi ekev aliyas mechirim. If prices are going to go up because now it's a seasonal sale, ol shaloyim tzushuv leknos achar Tisha B'Av, or they'll run out of stock. They're not going to have it after Tisha B'Av. Oh, shenimtza b'makom mesuyam b'makom garav ein la'asikol zeh. Or you live in Israel and you're visiting America and there are certain products they don't have yet in Israel. V'lachzor l'sham achrei tishba of karach b'otzakas b'nikaret, and to come back is going to cost you a lot of money. V'kalei l'mutu l'knos b'tas hayamim. So as he's quoting Kaf Chaim says that in all those cases you're allowed to buy those things during the 9 days. But he says, quoting from Rav Harfinus, you know Rav Harfinus is the Tshuvos by Yevarech David. Rav Harfinus, he's the Satmar Dayan in Williamsburg. Oh, I forgot. So what else did he write? No, we're not gonna. Not that far. But Rav Harfinus, the Satmar Dayan in Williamsburg, he wrote Nishmas Shabbos, I think it's called, many volumes of Tshuvos. Just on Hilchah Shabbos, he has like 7 or 8 volumes of Shabbos and Tshuvos. Just on Hilchah Shabbos, Rav Baruch Simon from Yeshiva University is very close to the Rav Harfinus. He often brings his Talmidim to Rav Harfinus. So he also wrote Yisrael Umoadim, something like that. Yisrael VaHazmanim, something like that. A fat two volume sefer on Zmanim in Halacha, all about Zmanim, which is a complicated topic. So he wrote a big, fat, two-volume sefer on Zmanim and Halacha, and he did a very nice job with that. And he wrote a couple of volumes on Chinuch. He's a very prolific author, a very respected posek. So Yisrael David Harfinus says that even if you're going to buy, the best thing to do is pay for it and ask to sort of hold it for you so you can pick it up after the 9 days are over. And that way you won't take possession of it. Now why is saying that? That's not mitzat the store, that's mitzat the buyer. And that relates to another halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So in Tavkof Nun Aleph Siv Zayin, Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh omrim sha'asru l'sakin begadim chadashim, omen alim chadashim b'shabzeh. That some say you're not allowed to get your clothing tailored or your shoes fixed during the 9 days. V'yesh l'hachnu b'zemir Rosh Chodesh, Rav Shul Nachman, even from Rosh Chodesh, says the Ramah, V'hu adin da'asru l'knosan. And who adin, you shouldn't buy new clothing. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It doesn't even really say it in too many Rishonim. Beis Yosef doesn't even quote it. But Ramah does. that the Minhag Ashkenaz is not to buy new clothing during the 9 days. So also the Knosim, that's the Pesach of the Rama. And the Achronim point out the Kaf HaChayim and others that b'makom pseida b'davar aved lo gazer rabbanan. Just like davar aved is a heter to do the masa umatan on the business side, the davar aved is also a good enough heter to buy the product on the customer side. So it works as far as davar aved is concerned. Now there's another issue that comes up, and that is how fancy is this clothing? Meaning, if the clothing is super duper fancy, well, then you run into another problem. What's the problem you run into then? Shachianu. So it doesn't sound like the clothing is super fancy based on the shayla. The woman said the store is always super cheap. That's what it's known for, having the cheapest clothing. So, you know, if you shop at places that are known for having the cheapest clothing, you probably don't often say shachianu on clothing that you buy. But if you buy a nice fancy suit, then you'd probably say shachianu. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tavkof Nanal Sif Yud Zayin, Tov li zayir milomar shachianu b'nei mitzarim al priya al malbush, that one should avoid saying a shachianu on a fruit or on a new garment during the b'nei mitzarim. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, but aval al pidyon ben omer, if you have a pidyon ben, then you do say a shachianu v'lo yach mitzah mitzvah. Don't delay the pidyon ben because you don't want to say a shachianu during the 9 days or during 3 weeks. No, you wouldn't do that. Meaning, if a shachianu situation comes up, you say a shachianu. Now, what's the issue with saying a shachianu? Shachianu is a bracha that relates to a certain sense of simcha that a person has, right? What other bracha does a person make that when they acquire something new, sometimes that relates to a certain sense of simcha? Hatova Meitiv. Right? What's the difference between Shachianu and Hatova Meitiv? When do you say Shachianu? When do you say Hatova Meitiv?
Shachianu,
when it says good time. Shachianu, well, that's what the words mean, but when it's not only about time, when you buy a new suit, you say Shachianu.
Hatova Meitiv is when you get more of it.
Not more of it. You versus others, right? Shachianu is when it's only a simcha for you. Hatov HaMeitiv is when it's a simcha for a whole group. It's just a technicality, right? The halacha is nolad ben zachar. If you have a baby boy, the bracha is Hatov HaMeitiv because everyone is thrilled with the baby boy. Baby girl, Shachianu. Okay, that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Salvechik thought that no longer applies. That ever since the end of Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, it no longer applies. Because it used to be that if a guy could marry 15 wives or whatever, so having a baby boy meant like you could have like limitless grandchildren. Because that boy can marry who knows how many women. But if you have a baby girl, then you're much more limited because she can only be married to one guy and she can only produce so many children or whatever, and it's all about the grandkids. I don't know, but that's and it used to be like it was a thing that everyone like rooted for a boy, but nowadays people generally are not in our family we never openly admitted or openly said we were rooting for one or the other. The only time we really wanted a particular gender was after four boys. Like, we felt like, okay, it's time for a girl already, So, we were rooting for a girl at that point. So thank God we had one. So that idea, there's a piece about that in my second sefer if anyone's interested, about the Shachianu Natova Meitiv on Shachianu when you see a friend you haven't seen in a long time, like we discussed with Rav Menashe Klein, right? Seeing Elie Wiesel and the Shachianu Natova Meitiv on baby girl and baby boy, respectively. But generally speaking, that's the rule. Shachianu is when it's just for you, Natova Meitiv is when for when multiple people are happy. I remember when I got engaged, I called Rav Schechter to tell him I was engaged, and he was in Tannersville at the time, and it was a fascinating conversation. We could go through the whole conversation at a different time, but one of the shailas that I asked him was whether my wife, Kala, at the time, should say a Shechianu on the engagement ring, because it's a pretty costly item. It's a very significant item. So he said, no, Hatov HaMeitiv. Because you're just as happy to give it to her as she is to receive it. So it should be Hatov HaMeitiv. Someone just called me the other day and said that he bought his wife a yichud gift, or his kala, a gift for the yichud room. Right? That's a custom that that there are gifts exchanged in the yichud room. Gifts are a way of showing a sense of simcha and a sense of love, right? So that's just universal to humanity, that when you like somebody, you buy them things as a gift, you know, birthday gift or whatever. And it's also a way of expressing simcha, that people exchange gifts in times of joy, right? That's why people wonder, isn't it chukas akum that people give Hanukkah presents? Because that's what the goyim are doing on Christmas. So isn't that chukas akum that we're giving Hanukkah? No, it's a universal thing to the human condition, that when you're celebrating and when you're doing joyous things, you bring gifts. That's how people, it's just an expression of simcha. So a guy told me he bought his wife a nice bracelet to give her in the yichud room. So he wanted to know, should it be atova meitiv or shechiyanu? So I thought at that time it's shechiyanu already. Meaning, when you get engaged, like it's a symbol of your engagement, you know. So the chasen is just as excited to be engaged as the kala, and they're both very, very happy and excited to get out, and that's a symbol of their, you know, of that moment in their lives. But every other gift, it's not like, you know, yeah, of course you're always happy to buy your wife a gift, but it's not like, you know, it's not the same. You know, I don't think it's always going to be atova meitiv. The nosein matana is always happy to give a gift, but I don't think whenever someone gives someone else a matana, it's atova meitiv. Usually it's a shechianu. So what's the issue? So atova meitiv is like a greater simcha, right? So you would imagine that if you're not allowed to say shechianu during the 3 weeks or 9 days, then for sure you shouldn't be allowed to say atova meitiv. And yet, it doesn't seem that that's the halacha. It seems that you're allowed to say atov ha-meitiv, just not shechianu. Why? The issue with shechianu is not the simcha shabo. The issue with actually buying kelim chadashim, that Rama says you're not allowed to do, that's because of the simcha. The issue of masum matan, that's related to the simcha. That's why some say only masum matan shel simcha. The issue of shechianu is how can you say those words? Shechianu? You're celebrating Zman Hazeh? This time? This is the worst time. This is Re'a Mazale. This is the bad mazal for Klal Yisrael. How can you say the Shechianu L'Zman Hazeh? So it's a problem with the words in saying Shechianu. That's why, by the way, Rabbi Eider in his Halachos of Svira, I think, maybe the Hilchos Pesach book, I don't know, one of his books, he points out that's why the Torah doesn't mention such an Isser when it comes to Svira. A lot of times people assume all the Halachos of Svira are the same as the Halachos of 3 weeks. Not all. There's no Isser saying Shechianu during Svira. Why? Because Sfira is not a sad Zman. Sfira is a happy Zman that something sad happened. And therefore we observe Avelus for that sad thing that happened. But fundamentally, Sfira is a happy Zman. The Ramban al Torah writes that Sfira should be viewed as like a Cholamoed of sorts in between Pesach and Shavuos. If Pesach and Shavuos are the bookends, they're the Yom Tovim, Sfira is the Cholamoed. Sfira represents a joyous time. It's against the Zohar, right? The Zohar assumes that Sfira relates to the 7 weeks of Sfira relate to the Shiva Nikiyim of a woman's Tumah, and Tumah represents distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and Avelus is defined really as distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makom Yenachem, because he's distant. Baruch Hu Hashem Mimikomo, he feels distant at certain times. But the Pashtus, Alpi Nigla at least, is that Sfira, the Ramban writes, that Sfira is a time that is a joyous time. So since it's a joyous time, nothing wrong with saying Shechianu during Sfira. That's Sefer Chassidim writes that Yesh Me'ach Chassidim Arishonim Shelo Yochum Pri Chadash Ben Yizayin B'Tamaz L'Tishbav. They wouldn't eat new fruits, so that they wouldn't have to say Shechianu V'Kimen V'Gyan L'Zman Hazeh, when in fact it's a Zman of Pranus. It's not Asr Medina de Gemara. This was something that Chassidim HaKadmonim used to do, and the Shulchan Aruch says in the Lashon of Tov Li Zoher, not in the Lashon of Isser. So it sounds like it's only a Chumra B'Alma, and therefore Rav Avadya Yosef says, since it's only a Chumra B'Alma, Rav Avadya writes in the Tshuva, Nichav Dat, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Lamed Zayin, Lachein, Ein Lahachmir B'Zeh B'Shabbatot, Shabbatoch Yimei Bein HaMetzarim, that you shouldn't say Shechianu during the week, during Bein HaMetzarim, but on Shabbos you can, because it's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. So if that gives you a sense of Onik Shabbos, mitzvah of Onik Shabbos is a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. That it says Beferish in the Navi. So you're going to be machmir on something that was Chassidim Arishonim, is not even in the Gemara, and cost yourself Onik Shabbos. So Rav Avadya thought that we can. that there's room to be mekel. Now, what about harama? The whole thing, meaning they're just doing this so that they could do business. You know, it's not like, so I understand, the customer has the right to buy. And the store has the right to do masa umatan kidei parnasasam. But the fact that the dafka making a sale at that time, and they're like advertising you, davar ha'avein, and that's going to be what draws the customers in. So it's riboy masa. It's not just not being memayit masa umatan. It's riboy masa umatan. Because when there's a sale, that's when a lot of customers come. So they're going to do more business during the 9 days. But it's technically mutter. So that's something in halacha called a harama. The problem with figuring out harama is that there are lots of different kinds of haramos, and sometimes a harama, working your way around a halacha, is asr. Sometimes it's mutter, and sometimes it's mutter for talmidei chacham and asr for other people. Like in Shas, we have different examples of haramos. You know, there's a Minchas Chinuch, you're not supposed to do a harama on a daraisa. You only do a harama on an Isser Darabanan. We'd be safe in this case, right? There's certainly not an Isser Daraisa. That's the shayla they ask, but that's why there are many people that are makbid not to do Mechiras Chametz of Chametz Gomer. They only sell Chametz that's Darabanan Chametz, but not real Chametz Gomer. Why won't they sell Chametz Gomer? Because by Rabbi Matzah, Chametz Gomer is an Isser Daraisa. So you don't want to do a harama to avoid an issur d'oraisa. Salvechik, I think, had that chumrah, that he wouldn't sell chametz gomer. And he even had a very broad, expanded definition of what chametz gomer is. I think in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shatza said that someone once asked Rav Salvechik whether scotch and whiskey is chametz gomer. And the whole reason we have mechiras chametz is because Jews were in the scotch business. Jews were in the whiskey business. And they would have to throw out everything and lose their entire business every year if they couldn't sell chametz. So we always assume that you're allowed to sell scotch and whiskey. That's the whole reason we have mechiras chametz. So the Nefesh HaRav says that someone asks for Salvechik if it's considered chametz gomer, and for Salvechik said, better ask someone else, better not to ask. Meaning he held yes, but apparently the rest of the world held no. But anyway, so I asked Rabbi Willig once, so you know, do we even recommend? Should I recommend to people not to sell chametz gomer? There are some people in my shul that will tell me, look, I'm not selling any chametz gomer. You know, I'm only selling, you know, people who are pretty strict about this and, you know, take that chumrah upon themselves. Rabbi Willick said, no, you don't have to recommend that chumrah for anyone because what we're doing is not a harama. It's a 100% valid sale. It's not a harama. Harama is you figure out some loophole. This isn't a loophole. You're selling something. It's 100% valid sale. It's glatt. It's legal. It's fully valid. So what are examples of harama? So the halacha is, if let's say you bake or you cook on yantif, because you want to eat on yantif, and you're allowed to do that. Ochel nefesh, you're allowed to eat on yantif. Or you invite guests, and you're cooking enough to feed all the guests. And then the guests don't come. Right? So you have extra food because the guests didn't show up. Or you thought you were going to eat all this food and then you had a stomachache you couldn't eat. You came down with strep or something you couldn't eat. So now are you allowed to eat that food the next day when it's no longer yantif? You're not allowed to cook on yantif for a weekday. So you're allowed to eat for the next day? Of course you are, right? So what about the following? Can you do a harama? Say, who knows, maybe I'll invite more guests today. You know, maybe when I go to shul, I'll see some friends and I'll say, hey, come over later. Maybe, and therefore I just want to be prepared for that. So like you have a woman who's busy, she works the whole week and she doesn't really have time to cook. And she's off on yantif, and yantif is going to be the most opportune time for her to cook. She's going to be busy the whole week. So she'll say, you know what, maybe I'll invite guests in shul. And that way, before she heads to shul, she can cook a whole week's worth of dinners for her entire family. And that, so you're allowed to do that. So the halacha mufarashas, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph, aser. And not only that, vim herim aser. If you did it, you're not even allowed to eat the food. Vafil b'Shabbos Shachar Yom Tov. And even on the Shabbos after the Yom Tov, mipnei shechmiru b'marim yosu min amezid. We're more machmir someone who did a harama than someone who did a mezid. Someone who did a mezid is at least being honest with you. Doing a harama, the worst. But yet, on the other hand, there's a halacha called Pidyon Maaser Sheni. Pidyon Maaser Sheni means you have Maaser Sheni produce. What do you do with Maaser Sheni produce? You got to eat it in Yerushalayim. So you're allowed to eat it. You don't have to give it to anyone, but you got to eat it in Yerushalayim. Problem is, if you're a farmer and you have a massive farm, to bring 10% of your stuff up to Yerushalayim, the trucking costs aren't worth it. How many trucks are you going to fill up with produce to do 10% of what you... So what do? Pidyon. Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni. You're pulled it for money. You exchange for money. But there's a catch. When you do Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni, if you have $100 worth of Ma'aser Sheni, you have to be pulled it for... plus a fifth milavar, which means plus 25%. So you have to be poded for $125. But that's only when you're poded your own ma'aser sheni. What if you're poded someone else's ma'aser sheni? So if you're poded someone else's ma'aser sheni, then you don't need to add 25%. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni Perek Dalet, and the Mishnah writes rather in Maseches Ma'aser Sheni Perek Dalet. Kates and Marim al Ma'aser Sheni, Omer Adam lebino ol lebito agadolim, la'avdo l'shev chaso ivrim. Go to your adult child, who's no longer part of your household, or a Jewish eved or shivcha, meaning someone who's not you, and you say, kach l'chamayel zeh l'bimatana, u'ptei l'cha behen Ma'aser Sheni zeh. I'm giving you this money as a matana, now you can go be poda that Ma'aser Sheni with this money. So now it's acherim being poda your Ma'aser Sheni. They're pata from the chomesh because they are acherim, and that works. That harama is mutter for some reason. And then you have a third kind of harama. You're not allowed to go on a boat on Shabbos if you know that the guy is going to be doing malacha for you to drive the boat. But if you just go on the boat and go to sleep, and you know that he's ultimately going to start moving the boat, so then if you're a talmud chacham, it's mutter. Torah Paschal Sim Shin Lamites. Only for a Talmud Chacham, not for somebody else. And so what's the rule? Right? Meaning, you want to be London, right? So you want to think, okay, now that I have some facts, so let's try to put things into categories. What kind of Harama is Asr? What kind of Harama is Mutter? And what kind of Harama is only for Tamid Chacham? Comes on to some Sofer, he says, the Chacham feel out each situation and they figure out what makes sense and what doesn't. Meaning, there is no rule. Which is frustrating. But there's no rule what harama works, what harama doesn't work. When the chacham think that things are going to get out of hand, that's when they're going to be more machmir in harama. When they think that, nah, it's okay, it's safe, then they're not going to be machmir in harama. So what do we do in this case? Did the chacham ever make such a din that you can't do such harama? I don't know, it seems a little distasteful, right, that they're going to make a harama sale for the 9 days. Can you say it's necessarily aser? Hard to say that it's aser. It's very hard to say that it's by the way, what do we do with we do harama for a farmer, a Jewish farmer owns a bechor behema Torah, and the behema is mevakeres. The behema is about to give birth to its first baby. So the halacha is a bechor behema Torah has kedusha. That's kedusha. Kedusha's karban. So you can have real problems. If you have that bismanazah, you're not going to be allowed to do anything with such an animal. It's going to be maybe the de takala. So what do you do? So what do all the farmers do? They do mechira. They sell the mommy to a guy before the birth. And if Bukhar Behematar is born to a guy. So that's how Ramadan's done all the time. Rav Shach said he once got a call from a guy, from a rabbi in the Midwest. And the rabbi said, the guy had been a rabbi for like 30 years. He said, there's a guy in my shul that has that's a farmer. And he's Bechor Behemet Torah, Behemet Makaris, about to give birth. What do you do? So Shach said, you do a Mechira. So the guy said, how do you do a Mechira of such a thing? So Shach said, do the same thing, you know, or the same halachas of Mechira's Chametz. So the guy said, how do you do Mechira's Chametz? He said, you've been a rabbi for 30 years. How do you not know how to do Mechira's Chametz? Right? But, you know, it's not that complicated. You do a number of kinyanim, and that's it. With a behema, it's probably easy. You can actually go do a mashicha on the behema. You know, with chametz, we can't do that because to schlep John Brown to everybody's house in the entire tri-state area where he's going to start doing kinyan alman, every box of Cheerios. So that's why we have all these chumras. But a guy can actually come to the farm and do a mashicha. Okay, so anyway, so bottom line, end of the day, the davar avet sale. L'chor is mutter. It's just, I find it a little distasteful. But l'chor is mutter. It's definitely mutter for the people shopping there.
I hope people don't get mad at you for asking this question. But what about making a siyum in the 90s? Is that considered a halacha?
So no, Adrabba, celebration of the Torah. I mean, it's built in. Now it depends. If you're running a fleishig restaurant and you announce siyumim 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you know, for each dinner crowd, which there are places that do that, so that's very, very distasteful.
Somebody told me recently that they save up their siyumim.
Okay, so that's a question in halacha whether you're allowed to do that, right? Whether you're allowed to delay in order, or it has to dafka come out that way. So that's a question in halacha. But that's a very widely accepted practice. Again, I don't like the idea of doing it that, you know, of having like a restaurant be able to run, you know, totally normally. And yeah.
Is an Erev considered?
No, we have a whole Masech is Erevin. Shlomo HaMelech is Masech. So, okay, I mean, I had that on my list of halachic loopholes, but that's not our Rama, it's a halachic loophole. As I think John Stewart made Erevin famous. You ever see that clip? No?
Right. Oh, yeah.
The Hamptons Erevin, yeah. What? Okay, so Poskim are not super thrilled about that idea of delaying it till.
Yeah.
Poskim are generally not so thrilled about the idea of delaying the siyum to 9 days, and it should be bederach limudah. But, you know, if you're chazering and you continue the chazer until the 9 days, then I would. I'm always making with people continue the chazer. Yeah.
Regarding the other word, the Lobah is fundamentally the idea of what
it's not made on the chaver. It's just that many people are happy. Like if you buy a sports car that has like only one seat in it or something, right? So that's a shachiyan. You buy a family car that everyone's going to enjoy. So that's a tovah meitiv. Not because you're doing good to the family, but because there are a lot of people that are benefiting from that. So it's not really bein on the chaver. It's just the nature of it is that more people are happy. That's a tovah meitiv. Hatov lo meitiv lacher. I guess it is a little bit of a chayr. It's made to the chayr. Whatever. Maybe. Okay. Let's stop there. I don't think you're allowed to